Well, good morning, church. Just want to thank you, First Baptist Bemidji. Thank you, Pastor Stan. Thank you, Tyler and Ashley and the Larson family and just everyone else who's been praying for us and supporting us for the last year since we first met you guys. It's an interesting story. The last time I was here was July 4th weekend, and I got to preach a sermon about the liberty that we receive in Christ Jesus. And I just remember, you know, it being about it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and that we are to use that freedom not to be entangled further in sin, but in liberty and in love to serve one another. And then, so I had no clue. I knew that I was going to come to Bemidji for months now, but I didn't know that it was going to be on Father's Day weekend until I was praying with my wife the other morning, and she said, "Oh yeah, you're going to be preaching on Father's Day." And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty awesome." And so I just want to thank you for inviting me here this morning, and it's a blessing and an honor. I think briefly, many of you have heard my testimony, but I really want to share just briefly and remind you of what our Heavenly Father has done in my life, and hopefully encourage you towards thanking God and praising Him for what He's done in your life as well. I just want to love my Father today. I want to testify of His goodness. I want to sing His praises, bless His name, for He is a good, good Father. And I just thank you for the worship this morning. It just really ministered to my heart. You know, God is a good Father. His amazing grace is just is beautiful in our lives. And He has literally broken the chains that was in my life and set me free because of His amazing grace. Amen. And He's done that for all of us who believe. And I'm from Dallas, Texas, if you can't tell by the accent. So I travel all around, so I may have lost some of it, but I'm from Dallas, Texas. And I grew up in a really dysfunctional home. And I love my dad today, and I pray for my dad today, because who am I to not be able to forgive someone after I've received such a great forgiveness from my Heavenly Father? But my dad did not know Jesus, and so I grew up in a home that was filled full of alcohol and rage and beatings and all of the things that come along with that type of stuff and that type of environment. And so at a young age of about 13, I started running away from home, and that ended up getting me into institutions and juvenile from a young age. About the age of 15, my dad looked at me and he told me, "Son, a man just has to do what a man has to do to be happy, even if that hurts somebody." And at that time, my dad left my family, my mom, for another woman. And that's not the love of a father. That's not the love of God. It's not selfish. It's not self-seeking. Actually, love is selfless. Love is sacrificial. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another, and that's the love that we receive in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that is not the love that was shown to me as a young man. And so I didn't know God, and I eventually turned to the streets. I'd already been turning to the streets, and some of my friends' families were fathers were methamphetamine cooks and drug dealers and thieves, and so that was the life that I took and followed. And I found my acceptance in those people on the streets, because the more wickedness I did, the more acceptance I received, the more praises I received, the more street credibility I got from the decisions that I had made. And I just found myself getting bound more and more and more in chains and in darkness. And there's a verse that's really dear to my heart that says, "I was dead in my trespasses and sins." That always speaks to me, because I was a lost, I was hopeless, I was filled full of hate and anger and addiction and sin and immorality and all of those things, and there was no more hope for me. And so in my sin, in prison, I went to jail multiple times, and in prison my third time, I looked like that guy right there. If you can't see my bald head there. That's pretty funny. Somebody said that guy goes to this church, and I was like, "That's cool," but that's me. Right before I landed in prison, my best friend had killed himself, and the girl that I was with for over 6 years died in a car wreck from using drugs with me, and I was lost, and I had no more hope in my life. And when I was in that jail cell, somebody handed me a Bible. And when I opened up that Bible, it changed my life forever. I met love. I met the true picture, the true definition of love. And we know that to be God because the Bible says that God is love. Amen? And I hated God. I thought if God was real, how could he allow all of these bad things to happen to me? And what I didn't realize is that all of these bad things that were happening to me were not his fault. They were my fault. And matter of fact, they were the world's fault. All of the decisions that we make in sin is our own faults. Yet God had made a way out of those sins for us. And that's when I met God the Father, God the Son, who sent, who sacrificed himself on the cross for my sins, driving them as far away as the east is from the west, and then imparting his righteousness into me so that I might walk out my salvation with fear and trembling in the righteousness of Christ, just really robed in the righteousness of God and loving God, being created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so I fell in love with this Jesus in a jail cell, and I hit my knees before this God and asked for his mercy, and he drove my sins as far away as east is west, and I started following him. And I don't know how else to explain it except the Holy Spirit came on me and his word became my sustenance. I fell in love with his word. I became zealous for the Father's business. It was like honey to my lips. It was sweet to the taste, and it filled my soul with life because the word of God is living. Amen? And so I started just following him. I turned away from the people that I was running with because I knew that I had been accepted in the Beloved, that my Father in heaven was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Go figure. Our Father in heaven is the great I Am. He is the creator of the heavens and the universe. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first, the last, who was and is to come. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is my Father. He is my brother. He is the firstborn among many brothers. And he is my friend. And I found life and identity in Christ Jesus. Amen? And no longer did I need acceptance from anyone else because I know whose I was. And I didn't know that from knowledge in the Word of God. I knew that because I experienced his love. I experienced his sacrifice firsthand in a prison cell. Amen? And it changed me forever. So that's really my testimony. That's how I got to where I am today. And so I want to bring another word about how good our Father is to us and how he actually pursued me. And I'm so out of order this morning, but I just want to show you my family up there. I just gave you my testimony, and I just want to glorify my daddy in heaven for giving me all good things. Amen? And that's my wife. Her name is Donna Yates. It was Donna Carter. She is a neonatal intensive care nurse. She has a doctorate from Dallas Theological Seminary. She speaks 5 different languages. She's lived all over the world as a medical missionary. And then she married me. Amen? There is no other story but God. I promise you, God did that. The Bible says that he who has found a wife has found favor from the Lord. And I have no idea why God blessed me, but she is my best friend next to Jesus. Amen? She is my treasure next to Jesus. And so he also blessed me with my beautiful little Madeline, who's in the middle there. She's 5 years old. My son, Caleb, my heir, who's 4 years old. And my little Rebecca Joy, who's now 2 years old next week. And Madeline was born in India. Caleb was born in Thailand. And Rebecca was born in the Republic of Texas. And so I'm a Texan. Sorry about that. Up on the top corner is a picture of my daughter Madeline when she was, I think, 3 years old, playing with Yazidi children whose parents were murdered by ISIS in Iraq. And so I just love that picture because my daughter is being love, you know, to those around them. And then that's a Syrian family that we led to the Lord, and my children play with their children. And those are pictures in Iraq. And so, again, that's out of order from what I'm preaching this morning, but if you could go to the next page, because I really just want to tell you that God is good. He loves you. He loves you so much. Amen? This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave." Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord our God is one, and there is no other. He is a jealous God for our affections. He desires intimacy with Him. He created us in the Garden of Eden so that we might have fellowship with God. And yet our sin, it separates us from God. Yet He will not allow us to fall by the wayside. Its flames are a flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. And as I told you, death had begun to take away all of my loved ones around me. And when I met Christ Jesus, I recognized that Jesus overcame the grave on behalf of me. In other words, there's an awesome verse in the Bible that says, He overcame the grave, that there is no victory in death, there is no sting in death. And a matter of fact, He made a public spectacle of the devil, of the enemy, triumphant over the grave on your behalf and on my behalf. And I just realized that when I was in prison, our God, my Father, the Hound of Heaven, left the 99 and pursued me into the depths of hell, so that He could save me and pluck me from the fire and give me new life. And I met love. I met Jesus, who is jealous for my affections. In the same way that I love my wife and I'm jealous for her affections. In the same way that I love my children and I want them to do good. And I want to train them up in the way that they should go, that they might not depart from the path. In the same way, my Heavenly Father loves me, and even more so than I can ever imagine. Amen? And He loves you in that same capacity. He is a jealous God, and He is affectionate for us, and He loves us. He is a most vehement flame. He is an all-consuming fire. He is my treasure hidden in a field. He is my pearl of great price. He is more valuable than anything to me. I could never love somebody. I used to tell my mama I love my mama. And then when she would turn her head around, guess what I did? I would steal from her so I could feed my drug habit. That's horrible. That's horrible. Jesus' love is pure. Jesus' love is faultless. His motives are always true for us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for our sins. He endured the grave on our behalf. Amen? That is the love of God. The second part of it says, if a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. And so that's the charge that I bring to you and to me this morning. Because Jesus says, if you do not deny yourself, if you do not take up your cross and follow after me, you cannot be my disciple. Those are hard words right there. He who wishes to save his life must what? Must lose his life. He who loses his life for my name's sake will find it. And what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? And so that charge is for us, all of us together, myself included, because a pair of lips will say anything, right? I can tell God I love Him all day long and live like hell. I can tell my dad I love you, Dad, and still live like the enemy of God. I can tell my friends I love them and steal from them, and I know how to do that because that was my life. I hate that life. Oh, I don't ever want to go back to that. I pray that God never lets me or lets my children or anyone endure the deception and the darkness of telling someone you love them and then stealing from them, because it's wicked. It's of the devil. Amen? Praise be to God forevermore. He will keep our feet from stumbling. He is faithful. Eye has not seen nor ear has heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen? Oh, how God loves us. God loves us so much that He would send His one and only Son. And that is precious, right? That is precious. If you'll go to the next slide, please. He is a father to the fatherless. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, and this is the inheritance that each one of us have today. We are sons of the living God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Isn't that awesome? We have been adopted into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen? We did not come to the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. His word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces to the inner depths of one's soul. It's a discerner of our thoughts and our spirits so that we might be given his Holy Spirit and make wise decisions, so that we might be given his Holy Spirit and have pure motives of love, of self-sacrificing love, like our Father in heaven who left his heavenly throne and took on the form of a man, and not just any man, but the form of a servant. And not just any servant, but a slave, a bond servant. And coming in the likeness of man, he became obedient to the point of death. And he has called us to do the same. He says, let this mind be in you, and God will exalt you. He who humbles himself, God will lift up and exalt. Amen. But the other way around, I don't ever want to go back there. Amen. I want to humble myself before my Holy Father and allow him to lift me up so that we might do good, because we've been created in Christ Jesus for good. But that is our identity, so we no longer have to fear. You know, when I was in prison, I walked up to the gang that I was a part of and said, I don't fear you anymore. I don't have nothing for you. God is my Father. God is my protector and my redeemer. God is my Savior. And if you have to beat me, that's okay. Do what you have to do, because I am to fear God, who will kill my body and cast my soul into eternal fire, and not to fear man. Amen? And when I did, he protected me. And those same people mocked me. And I began to learn how to pray for my enemies. For the first time in my life, I looked on someone with compassion, because I was the same they were. But for the grace of God, I would still be dead in my trespasses and sin. Amen? And when I started praying for those people who mocked me and made fun of me, months later, they came back to me and asked me for prayer and asked me forgiveness. Because Jesus says, if someone smites you on one cheek, turn the other. Amen? And so that is our identity. Our identity today is in Christ Jesus. We are children of the Most High God. And if we're children of the Most High God, then we're heirs of Christ Jesus. That means that everything my daddy has is mine. All the gifts that God has for us is for us and is to be used to advance his kingdom on this earth. Amen. I had 1,000 scriptures this morning. I didn't really know exactly which way the Lord would lead me, but I got up and sought heaven and asked him to guide and direct my steps this morning. But I want to really, really focus on this verse right here. God is a father to the fatherless. And just like he found me when I was hopeless, when I was dead, when I had no father, no direction, and he became my father and adopted me into his family, he has called us to be both his children and a defender of orphans and widows. Amen? And he is God in his holy habitation. It says in the Bible that pure and undefiled religion is to visit orphans and widows in their times of trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so that's really what God had begun to place upon my heart, that now my mind is of Christ. I have a Christ complex. I've been identified with Christ. I have proven the perfect will of God in my life by beseeching the Heavenly Father and turning away from my sins. Amen? And conforming to his will and not conforming to the ways of the world anymore by the grace of God. Brothers, I can preach a good sermon, but trust me, my life on a daily basis is keeping with repentance, because my heart is desperately deceitful and wicked above all else. And every day I come before my Father and ask for forgiveness for my heart and ask him to cleanse me and drive my sins away, that I might follow him and lay down my life before him and give him everything that I have on a daily basis. Amen. And that's what salvation looks like. That's the consecration that the Lord has given to us each and every day as we grow in our faith before a holy God. And one day, we're going to put it all away. One day, we're going to enter into eternity. We're going to put off the perishable and inherit the imperishable, and we're going to be in his presence for eternity, and it's going to be beautiful. But until then, we have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said, I have set you as a seal upon my heart, like the bridegroom has for his bride. We also have been given a promise. We have been given assurance, and yet the world has not. So nothing can separate God's love from you. Nothing can separate God's love for me. But the challenge is, what do we do with God's love? Once it has been given to us, we are called to spread his love to others, both here and around the world. Amen? And so if you'll go to the next, how do we love God? That's the question. Because I said earlier, a pair of lips can say everything, can say anything. I learned, yeah. Faith without works is dead. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him, and I will show myself to him. And that's how we walk out our salvation, by trusting in a holy God, is by obeying his commandments. The Bible says that you show me your faith, and I will show you my faith by my works. And trust me, brothers, I'm not trying to stand up here and look good. That's not my heart at all. I've been saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of my works. But I know one thing. We are not to just love God in word and tongue, but in action and in truth. The same way that I told my mama I loved her and stole from her, that ain't the way it is. When I praise my Heavenly Father, when I thank him and offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, I should also offer up my life, because it was bought at a price. And that price was hefty. It was the precious blood of his only son. It was his blood, son, and lest I trample on his son's blood today. Amen? So we love God by our actions, just the same way I want to love my children. I want to love my children by showing them that I love them. I want to show my children I love them by disciplining them. And I'm learning that right now. It is not easy. I got a 4-year-old little boy who, oh my Lord God, I pray for all of my heart that he will listen to me and not go the path that I went. Amen? Oh God, please save our children from that world. It's desperately deceitful and wicked. It's a liar. It's of the father the lie of lies. It's the broad path that leads to destruction. God, I pray for all of our children in here, that they would listen and that we would with wisdom rear them in love and discipline, because a father disciplines a son that he loves. Amen? And so, sorry, that was not anywhere on up here. I want my children to know the love of God, amen, and to never endure and experience the things that I did and many others do. I lost my place. What can God do with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Matthew 25:34-40, when we say we love God, it's played out in actions. How do we tangibly love God? We love God by spending time with him in prayer, first and foremost. If you want to bear fruit in your life, it comes from seeking heaven on your face before the Lord, praying without ceasing, spending time in the Word, spending time in fellowship, spending time in worship. That is the first and foremost important thing of your life. Because when you love God, the result of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is going to play itself out in loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen? And how do you love your neighbor? How do you love Christ? You love Christ by, when he is hungry, feeding him, right? You love Christ by, when he is naked, you clothe him. You love Christ by, when he is sick, you visit him. You love Christ by, when he is prison, you go and you visit with him. You love Christ by, when he is, how many other verses are there? When he was a stranger and you take him in, you give him food. When he was thirsty and naked, you clothe him and feed him. And Jesus is going to say, when did you do it unto me? Basically, Jesus is going to tell us, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. So that's God in the flesh, right? All we have to do is look around and see the people that are hurting, and they're Christ. They're Christ, amen? It's a lost world. It's a dying world. We have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. We're heaven bound. Nothing can take that away from us. So the charge for the church today and our sealed spirit is to go and gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, amen? To gather the elect, to bring them into fold, because every day people are going to hell. Every day they're doing it in this nation and in the ways around us, in the world around us. If you'll please turn. Now I'm just going to kind of translate.